Okay, we're picking up with the Mara on Chaf Hey Amar Aleph. We have two lines on the top. We just quoted the Braisa. The Braisa said, just Agav, that we see that when someone has Minale Mafuchim, Tachas Amita, that was a reason, according to Rebbe, that you should, she should divorce her husband. The husband should divorce her because that we assume that the upside down shoes were indication that someone left their shoes there by the bed, that she probably had relations with this person. So Gemara says Minale Mafuchim. So the Braisa is asking, we actually found the shoes that were upside down. So go find whose they are and see whether they belong to this Rochel, the guy who is the peddler, to see if they were his. If they were his, they were his size, then you know for sure that he was there, and then you could assume that they were there. But if not, maybe you shouldn't have divorced us. The Gemara says, Ella, we must assume Malcolm Minayla Mafuchim. He discovered the place where the shoes had been turned over, Tachas Amita, which is under the bed. And to that case, Rabbi says, Hawil Mukhor Adavar Teitse, that we see that you see that there was like an imprint on the shoes. The shoes had been imprinted underneath the bed, and they were overturned. It seemed to show that there was an act of Bia there, and therefore this rumor would be enough that the husband should probably divorce his wife. Now the Gemara points out, again, we had Machlokas between Rav and Rebbe. So Gemara points out, Hilchasakavasid Rav, the Lacha follows Rav, and Rav Paskin, that we will not allow a rumor to be enough to say that the husband has to divorce his wife based on a simple rumor if you don't have edim, if you don't have witnesses. But then the Gemara says, Hilchasa Kevasa de Rebbe, and the Halacha actually taka follows Rebbe, who says you do have to listen to the rumor, and you know, one would be required to divorce his wife. To which the Gemara immediately asks, what do you mean? Those are complete, there's a machlokas between Rav and Rebbe. How could you tell me Halacha Kevasa de Rav, Hilchasa Kevasa de Rebbe? So Gemara says, Kasha Hilchasa Kevasa, which is it? Do we give credence to a rumor or not? Do we say that a rumor is strong enough to say that you get divorced, or do we not? So as the Gemara knows, lo kasha, ha bekala de pasik, that when there is a rumor, but the rumor stops, the rumor was started, everyone started talking about this rumor, we're going to see how long that is in a moment, this rumor started, and then after a few hours, whatever, it dies down and people don't talk about it, then we would paskin like Rav, ha bekala de lo pasik, and then if it's a rumor that does not stop. Kala de lo pasik, if it's a rumor that does not stop, veleka edim, and there are no witnesses, then he would be forced to divorce her. If it's a continuous rumor that keeps on happening, this would be like Rebbe, Kirebi. Kala de pasik, however, the rumor has stopped, ve'ika edim, and there are a divorcer only, then kala de pasik, if there's a kala de pasik, then only if there are witnesses, ve'ika edim, then it would be like the lacha, would be like Rav. But that's why we're picking the cases that we're saying. In some cases we pass like Rav, in some cases we pass like Rebbe. Both Rebbe and Tosafot point this out, that both Rebbe and Rav would say their halachas, even if meaning Rav would say his halacha, even if the rumor didn't stop. Even if it was a kala de lo pasik, you would paskin that we would not have to get divorced, but Rebbe says we do, and we hold like that. And Rebbe would hold that even if it was pasik, we would force a divorce, and we hold like Rav in that case only when there was witnesses, so we kind of, we pick this case to paskin like Rav, and this case to paskin like Rebbe. The Gemara now asks, if a kala de pasik had come, what is considered a rumor that's not stopping? How long does it have to be? Amar Abaye, Amar Li'em, my mother told me, it's very interesting, Abaye was an orphan. The one who whenever he quotes his mother is always referring to his stepmother, which is fascinating because we have more statements from Abaye's stepmother in Shas than any, to my knowledge, I'm not Zerbakia Shas to tell you this a lot, but I'm pretty sure, than any other Amora quoting his mother, which is fascinating because Abaye wasn't even, it was his stepmother, which is just a side point, but just I always find that fascinating. So Gemara says, Dume Demasa Yoma Palga. Rashi said, what does Dume Demasa mean? Rashi gives two pshatim. Chashud Ya'ir, those who are suspected, or Dume Delo Yadai Mai, but we don't know what it is. We don't know what exactly what it is. Whatever this Lashon is, that either the ones who are suspected of, the one you don't know about, then Yomal Palka. That if they have this rumor, keeps on going after a day and a half before still talking about it, then that would be considered a Kola Delo Pasak, which is interesting. I would have thought like it's longer, like a week, a month, give people some time. But apparently, even if it's a day and a half and it keeps on going, people are still talking about it after a day and a half, that would be something in which we would say you would have to get divorced. So even if you don't have edim, that's how we paskin, like Rebbe, in that circumstance. Below Amran Ella de lo pasik beinu beinu. But we say that this day and a half is only with regards to the rumor, it didn't stop in the meantime, meaning there was nothing else that people were talking about during that day and a half. This was the talk of the town. It was on the front pages of all the newspapers that next morning. There was nothing else that people were talking about. But if it did stop, there were people in the middle of that night, another rumor came in, and someone else did something else even worse, and everyone was talking about that, and people weren't even talking about this anymore. If it dies down, and then it comes back up the next morning, then it would be something which that would be considered pasuk, that's considered stopped, even if it for a little bit comes back out. And also this halacha that when it's stopping is only when it's stopping, not a result of fiyara. Let's say this guy's extremely powerful, and you start talking about how he cheated on and he had a bia with someone else, so you're scared to talk about him. So in that case, then we would not keep this halacha as calling it as stopping. Machmazir, aval pasuk, machmazir, machmazir, who the halacha is, that's considered cold, that is continuous, because he's only stopping because of the fear of this person. Now, also, when do we say that this halacha, that it's considered stopping, is going to be okay, and if it continues, it's going to be a problem? It's only when there's no enemies in the city. Aval, ika oivim, which I'm going to point out, that even if there are enemies in the city anywhere, but you don't even know that they spread it, you don't even know for sure spread it, but they just have enemies and really hate them in the city, you could assume, it could be assumed that even if you don't know for sure, we could assume that the people who hate them in the city, they're the ones who spread this terrible rumor about them, and you can assume that this halacha, this call was from them, and you don't have to pay attention and give credence to this this rumor. Now the Gemara says, Tananas, we learn in Maseches Gittin, Hamotzes Ishto Mishum Shemra, if someone divorces his wife because he heard all these terrible rumors about her, and then or lo yachzir lachis, he's not allowed to take her back. Mishum neder, also because of neder lo yachzir, you're not allowed to take her back. Why Sarash is Marach over here? To explain that the Gemara in Gittin talks about this at length. The Gemara over there, in Gemara in Perakas Shaleach, the Gemara in Gittin says that the reason is because what's going to happen is that. That he's going, he can go to the Chacham to matter his neder. Let's say Mishum Rashi. Let's talk about first Moshe Shemra. The order that was split in Rashi's, but let's say Moshe Shemra is that he had this bad name, and then he finds out afterwards that there was completely false rumor. So he's going to say that I never gave the get with das like this. If I had known this, I wouldn't give me $1 million. I would have never given divorced her. And then we're afraid that Taka, that's a valid taina of his. In which case, we're going to say that in that case, we're going to say that he that would uproot the lamafreya, the gittin. And then if she then goes ahead and remarries, those children from the second marriage will be mamzerim. And in the second, and then the other lacha about a neder, the lacha is that if you had a pesach to your neder and you go to the chacham to matter the neder, then you can do that. However, he didn't realize that. So he says the same thing. He said, if I had known that I could have gone and made for the neder or matter the neder, two different points of how far is the darim, hataras the darim, if I could have done either of those two things, I would have done it. And if you give me $1 million, I wouldn't divorce my wife. And again, what would come out is that that would be that he wasn't giving the get with the right das, and therefore the get's not chal. And if she then goes ahead and remarries, then we say that the children would be mamzerim. So to avoid this, the halacha is before we divorce, we tell before he gets divorced, we tell him, "Hello, Reuven, you are divorcing your wife because of this shemra. You're divorcing your wife because of another. You should know that no matter what, you are not going to be allowed to remarry her." We tell them this because of the takana of the isha, because really want it to be if she ever is going to get remarried, that she should be able to get remarried and not have the child of mamzerus. So we tell him once and for all, you should know this is your final chance. You are not able to remarry her whatsoever, and then he can't claim afterwards, "Oh, had I known X, Y, and Z, I wouldn't have ever." We say that it doesn't matter if the rumors are false, but it doesn't matter if you could have been matched to the nether. This is your one and final chance to get divorced. So the Gemara says that the halacha is lo yachzir because it did the rabbanan. That's what we say to him in order to avoid the shaila of mamzira. So the Gemara has a question. What if Itaka violates the halacha de rabbanan and he decides to divorce her? Do we force him to get divorced or not in that case? Again, he violated the takana de rabbanan and he divorced her, and then he was mad to the neder. Says, "Oh, Taka, I'm mad to the neder. I want to get back married to her." He finds out the things were in fact false. So those rumors, and she didn't remarry in the interim. So there's no shalom mamzeris. That there is a takana rabbana that we make a low plug that all circumstances we don't want him to get remarried. But what if Itaka violates this halacha and decides to get remarried? So the Gemara has, Rabbi Bar Nachman answers, "Amarlei Tanina, we learn in a Mishnah, Hanitan al ish is ish. If someone was had rumors that he had a bia with a married woman, veotzia mitachas yada in the court." Forced him to get divorced to this lady. Even if the suspected adulterer decides to marry her, Yotsi, we force him to get divorced. So in this case, we force him to get divorced because he's substantiating the rumor. So over here, someone who divorces a wife because of the bad reputation, the reason that Ravana did this was to substantiate the rumors about the Motzi Laz. And since Allah is similar in this case, we can assume that also, just like the Bawa, the suspected Bawa has to divorce her, so too the husband must divorce her. So which the Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar le midami. Are these cases comparable? Hasam hatzua. There we specifically mentioned that in the Mishnah says they forced the husband to divorce her. So therefore, the witnesses there was witnesses that testified her, like Rav told us. And therefore, we know that really halachically he's aser to her, just like he's aser to the baal. There's halacha kashim shas to the baal. Gemara learns in Gemara Sota. Kashim shayim shas to the baal. Kasher the baal. And iser deraisa to marry the baal. So there, halacha hotzia. But here in Mishnah and Kitten, it says hotzia that he divorced her on his own volition. He wasn't forced by anybody to do it. So therefore, halachically midaraisa, he'd be allowed to remarry her. And if he did, maybe it's only a takana derabanan. If you violate the takana derabanan in a chanami, they're not going to make you bedieved. Then go get divorced to her. So there's a fundamental difference between this case and the Gemara and Gittin. That's what the Gemara is pointing out. So the Gemara says now, Rav Nachman masnisa nami hotziya tnan. Rav Nachman had a different kirsa that our Mishnah also has a lashon that the husband not hotzi uha that the beis din forced him to get divorced, rather hotziya, meaning that he divorced her on his own volition. He decided to marry her, which also would be at the takar darbanan because he had this motzi shemra. He had the shemra. She had a not motzi shemra. He had a bad name. She had a bad name, and therefore he decided to divorce her, and that's why you divorced her in our case over here also. And therefore the two cases are comparable. And when our Mishnah says that it's usher to marry the Baal, it's usher to marry the Baal, the Boel is, we say Hotziya, we can apply the same halacha to the Baal as well. But the Gemara says, is that really the case? Because again, our Mishnah only said, even with Rav Nachman's Girsa now, granted, let's accept your premise, Rav Nachman. What did Rav Nachman say? Rav Nachman told us that really when you're divorcing her because of the Shemra, so then you're not allowed, she's not allowed, even though it's only Darabana, she's not allowed to be with the suspected adulteress, and the person that she's suspected to be adultering with is also B'tievet, even if he decides to get married to her, we force her to get divorced, so too, with the husband divorces her, even if he violates the Takana Darabana, he is usher to go back to his wife. The Gemara says, Vakati Midami, is that really comparable though? Hacha Baal, the case of the Gemara again, we're saying that it's the husband wants to remarry her. If the husband wants to remarry, maybe in a Chanami should be allowed to. The Hasan Boel, the case in Gittin is talking differently, that it's talking about the Baal. Here is the Boel who's going to be usher to marry her. Maybe we can make a distinction and say that the potential Boel is worse than the, you're going to substantiate the rumors. Here there's just the Baal violating a Takana Darabanan. Amar Leis, or Rav Nachman responds, Shapir Dami Adadi. No, really, they are compared to one another. Hachim, Rabbanan Lo Yichnas. Therefore, our Mishnah said that you may not marry her. Vim Kanas Yotzi. You're going to have a Hasim Dami, Amar Rabbanan Lo Yichnas, you're Kanas Yotzi. At the end of the day, I'm focusing on the fact that it is a Din Rabbanan. So, according to Rashi, Rav Nachman misunderstood Rav Huna's Kasha. He's saying that he's reiterating his point that both of the cases are an Isser Rabbanan, and therefore they should be comparable. To which the Gemara responds, no, my Kasha was, Veloi, that's not the case, they're not comparative. Hasam alume yelimela kala. There, in our, meaning over there, which is our Mishnah, the person who is the adulterer, by marrying her, he's mamish substantiating the rumors that he had bia with her. That would be substantiating the whole thing. Hacha, here, the Mishnah in Gittin, however, the Mishnah is talking about the case, Amrinan, kambe bekala velisa. We say that he has now investigated the rumor, and they're baseless, and that's why the husband's remarrying her. You're not substantiating any rumors by then remarrying her. You're just violating the Takana Darabanan, because we're afraid if the woman had gotten remarried to somebody else, and then she had children, but that didn't happen over here. And now you substantiated the rumors that are false, and you're saying that it's fine, and therefore you'd be allowed to remarry her. That's fundamentally why they're different. That was the point where Rav Huna was responding back to Rav Nachman's Taina on why the cases should be comparable. He's saying they're really not comparable, so we're left with, we don't answer the question, is it really the case when it comes to the Baal? Do we force him to get divorced or not is unclear. We don't have a raya from the Mishnah. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah is continuing the cases of talking about someone who's usher to marry, because the Mishnah Kadidah is another such case. So now there's a halacha in Maseches Gittin. When we get to Gittin in a little bit, we have a lot of Seder Nashim to get through before we get there. But either way, in Maseches Gittin, we have a concept called a get. Obviously, the get is a bill of divorce. There's a concept that it has to be lishma. It needs to be written for the sake of the woman, the particular man that was being, it must be written by the sofer for the sake of the man being divorced and the woman being divorced. So in Eretz Yisrael, we assume that people know this halacha. However, in Chutz La'aretz, we're afraid that people don't know this halacha. So the Rabbanan forced that the person bringing the get has to say, b'fanei nechtav u'v'fanei nechtam. In front of me, it was written, b'fanei me, it was signed, so therefore, it was going to be all done lishma. And the Rashi points out famously on Daf Beis and Beis over there in Gittin, he says, they're going to mamela shalilanai if it's going to be also done lishma, because it's not even in the question there. Befananatham doesn't say lishma there, but that's clearly what you're going to be asking him. So Rashi says, Imamish, ask him that question when you say befananatham. So now, the guy who's bringing this get, it says befananatham, he's really the one who's making the chalos to the get. So, because he's saying that this is a kasher get. So he himself should not marry the person's wife, because again, the similar halacha that you, the similar pasuk that the person should remove the avla from his piece of, the Gemara and Chavdal and Beis told us similar halacha over here, because everyone's going to think that people, that he falsified this document in order to marry this woman, and they really, they had a whole etza between the two of them. So the Gemara says that he shouldn't marry her. Another case, Mace, what about if he testifies that her husband died, or her active, or if I killed him, or Haginu, or we killed him together? That's going to be Shalat. Did we all kill him together, or they killed him? We're going to see what that means. Lo Yisaz Yishol. In all this example, the person, she's allowed to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. That's the whole halacha that we're going to get to later, discuss that as well. That one, on the premise of one witness, we assume Takana Saguna. Really, you need Al Kshvish Naim Da'evdin Malkum Dover. This is the one case. Or Oker, even a din daraisa, even a kumvase, because really the Torah tells you need two and we lie one. That's a whole big question how that works. But Batsim, it does work. And we accept even one witness. So here, we're accepting his testimony, but still, he should not be the one. He's not allowed to marry her because we're afraid he falsified the testimony in order to marry this woman. If he says, I killed him, you don't, you're not allowed to marry them because you are establishing himself as a Rasha. And the Torah tells you, so the Pasuk, I'm a little bit off, but that's what the Pasuk basically is saying, that you can't have a Rasha be a witness. So with the fact that he says, I killed him, we do not allow him to testify. However, if we killed him, so we allow him to get married, because the Gemara is going to explain why, what the reason is, because you're not really establishing that you killed him, really the people you were with killed him, and you were just with them. Okay, we're going to get to that, Be'ez Hashem. So now the Gemara points out, analyzing the first part of the Mishnah about the get from Chutzlaris. Taima, this implies that the only reason, because the guy was bringing the get from Chutzlaris and he had to say Befanu Neflim, that's why Dala Kasminan, we're relying upon his testimony to validate this get. If he didn't say Befanu Neflim, the get would not be kosher. Haval Meretz Yisrael, but let's say from Yishalayim to Bnei Brak, a guy brings a get, which is halacha, is you don't have to say Befanu Neflim, the lav alea kasam chinan, in which case we do not rely on his Hidus. Yisa is ishto. He may marry the divorcee, even though he's still saying, if he decides to say, Befanu Neflim, since it wasn't necessary for him to give that edus, therefore people are not going to suspect him. That's the deal. So the Gemara points out, but is that really true? V'hamis, in the case of someone who's testifying that the husband died, we're not replying on his testimony to marry. In the case where we say a man that he died, because really who are we relying on? The woman. When we have one aid, the woman knows that if anybody comes, she's in major trouble. She decides to remarry, and there was only one aid, and she remarries, and she comes back. All of her children from the second marriage are going to be mamzerim. So she's very careful to make sure that she's, before she decides to get married and create mamzeris, she's going to be daika mitzvah lashon of the Gemara, and she's going to be carefully investigating to make sure that she's marrying it. So really, she's not really relying on the one aid. She's relying on her own investigations. She hires private investigators to make sure her husband, in fact, did die. Vikatani, the Mishnah says, lo yisas ishto. He's not allowed to marry the dead man's wife. So we see that in that case also, there's a stira. Why in that case where one aid says that she died, we're really relying on the fact that she herself was looking into it, and we're not really relying on the one aid, we say that you're not allowed to marry this woman, as opposed to the case where the guy says, Befanu Neflim, where he didn't need to. Also, I'm not relying on it, but still, he's the one who brought the get. We should say that maybe at the end of the day, we should be not relying on him. So Gemara says, no, hasam leka ksava. There, in the case where you're testifying that he died, there's no written document verifying what you said. There's no death certificate. There's nothing that we're relying on. So you're just your own testimony is really what we're relying on over here. However, here in the case of the get written in Eretz Yisrael, there is the get itself. The get itself is being made that she was divorced, and therefore we don't suspect that he's going to falsify the get. This non ma ben get lemisa, in a different context, Rashi points out, when it comes to the women who are not neman to say that meis baila, there are certain women that we believe that they hate the wife. So Reuven's married to Sarah. So Sarah's mother-in-law and Sarah, and if Reuven was married to Sarah and Leah, they were co-wives. So Leah is not believed to assume. We even believe a shivcha. We even believe in a woman to say that meis baila. But certain women are not believed because we're afraid that they hate they hate this lady, and they want lekil kula. They want her to get remarried and then have mamzir. So in that case. We would say that she's not believed to say mace. However, the Mishnah says, Mame Gelamisa, so in that case, we say that if she Taka brings a get, and she says, Befanu Neflim, she's the one that Sarah, let's say her co-wife, came from Chutzlar at Sarah Tisrael. So then she came from New York to America, she said, Befanu Neflim, normally she's not believed, but here, since she had the get, it is believed. To which the Mishnah says, why? Mame Gelamisa, because the fact that you have the written document with the Edom signed on it, we don't concern that she's gonna make this whole falsified document, we do believe her in that circumstance. We see that a get is stronger evidence of no longer being married as opposed to just testifying about the death. We see that at the end of the day that there's a stronger case to assume that the guy's not lying when it comes to a get, when you're bringing a get. So too, when the guy brings a get in Eretz Yisrael, where you're not relying on his aegis, and even though he decides to say Befanu Neflim, we would believe him and we would say that he's allowed, that he's going to get married to this woman because it's not relying on him. We're not afraid of anything because we're really relying on the get, not his Lashem. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Me Saraktiv Arginu Lo Yisas Ishto. In all the cases, he said he died, or he killed him, or we killed him, you're not allowed to marry the wife. So who knew the Lo Yisas Ishto? The deal is that only this man is not allowed to marry him. However, we do believe him that she's allowed to marry somebody else. We do believe his testimony. V'amar Rav Yosef Ploni Ravani La Onsi. Rav Yosef said, if so and so, Ravani, He had biyag with me. He had right, male relations with me against my will. So the Gemara says, "Who v'acher mitzarfer la'argo?" Him and another witness can combine to have this person who did this to him, who raped him, to be put to death. L'rtzayni, however, if he says he did it, he had relations with me and it was with my consent, then Rasha who? Then he's a Rasha. He does not combined with the other guy to be considered a witness, because he is saying that by testifying that he was happy to do this, relations to have this man and man relations, and then he's obviously going to be a Rasha, and therefore we do not believe him, and we do no longer believe him in that case. So the Gemara is saying that that this case, that this would be the size of Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says that the kasha really is, then why is the Mishnah implying that she's allowed to marry the other person? So you could attain to Rav Yosef's point. Shani ages isha dekir abana. Maybe the Rabbanah are going to be so makil here, even to allow this Rasha to testify. V'hamar Rav Menashe, turning on to next number now. Rav Menashe gazlan didivrayim kasher la ages isha. Now on Chavei Mabez, that when it comes to a din to Rabbanah of gazlan divrayim, that person is kasher. So the Gemara in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, who is pasul eidus medivrayim? If you have mafricha yonim and a mesachik bekuvia and socher shviyas, that's olshayla has socher shviyas, get in there darbanan. But either way, the things that people are stealing on the level of darbanan, a gambler and the people who are pigeon racers, or some say that means that they take from the pigeon coat, whatever the dove coat, they take things that are not theirs on a level darbanan, not a level daraisa. So them normally they're not fit for any ages. For an ages isha, because again, takana saguna, we don't want a woman to be stuck and not be able to get remarried, so then we allow him to be believed. However, gazal divrei Torah, pasul ages isha. But when it comes to a thief on a level d'oraisa, we do not permit him to get remarried. So meaning that if you want to taina that we really do, we're so makel when it comes to aguna, that's not the case over here. Here in the case, we're going to say that this is not going to be acceptable la'edus at all. So the Gemara says, maybe Neiman Rav Menashe Damar Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, maybe we can assume that Rav Menashe is according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the woman is mutter to get married. The Rabbanan hold that this lenient applies even to one who is apostle midaraisa. They would allow you to get married. The Gemara is assuming at this point that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are in agreement with regards to Rabbi Yosef. Both agree that the ages which establish him is a sinner. They would go even further. They would say not just when a guy violates an Issa Rabbanan, even when the Rabbanan guy violates an Issa Daraisa, and that would he hold that the leniency would be that even if he violated an Issa Daraisa, for the sake of Aguna, we allow him to get remarried. So the Gemara says, no, I'm not a Rav Menashe, I don't know if I feel the Rabbanan. No, my Shita really works with the Rabbanan. The time of the Rabbanan, Hacha Kitirchava, I disagree with Rav Yosef. I can disagree with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, who said Ploni Ravani Lartzoni is not valid to testify, Rava disagreed with that. Dama Rava Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmo. A person is considered related to himself. Ve'en Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. The lacha is a person is not allowed to establish himself as a sinner, because just like a karav can't be made, a person a lacha Xeris Hakasam Dereisa is that a person is not allowed to establish himself as a sinner. So when we say Ploni Ravani, we do a Pagina Dibura. We say Ploni Ravani, the guy had relations with me, and the fact that you said Lertzoni and I didn't mind, we ignore that. We ignore that statement and we say that's Adam Karavit Zatzmuin Amatzmashra. But with the fact that you said Ploni Ravani, you identified him, Reuven Mitchillon was Ravani, we can't accept that ages. You're not a Russia at that point, you can't even start up with somebody else, and we can put the guy to death, even though that you're admitting that you did it willingly. That was what the halacha is over here, and therefore Rava would be in agreement with that, and therefore the Rabbanan could agree. According to Rava, they could be disagreeing with Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, Lema Rav Yosef Demar Rav Yehuda. So then we have to suggest that Rav Yosef would be like Rav Yehuda, who says that it's usher to women to remarry. According to Rabbanan, though, they would hold like Rava, and they said that you would be allowed to remarry. Amar lecha Rav Yosef, ana damri afil de Rabbanan. I would say my shita even according to Rabbanan. Why is a woman's testimony different? Shadi is shita killer by Rabbanan. So I think that here it's specifically different. We do view him as a Rasha. But even though, because of the fact that we have a Takana Saguna over here, we would allow you to get remarried, and therefore we would say that you'd be allowed to get remarried over here, even though we established that you're a Taka a liar, and you're a Taka a murderer, you're a Taka someone who violates an Issa Raisa, we would still accept your testimony. Rav Menashe, Rav Menashe says that it's only between Rabbanan, Damar, Kerb Yehuda, he's going to follow his halacha like Kerb Yehuda, meaning I hold like the original Havamina, that when we said, name of Rav Menashe, Damar, Kerb Yehuda, and then Rav Yosef would be like, Rabbanan, I'm going to say, Rav Yosef is going to say, yes, I Taka hold that was the rape shot in the Mishnah. Very fascinating. Now, next point in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Haragtiv. The Buddha said, if the guy says, I killed him, then the dead man's wife is not allowed to remarry also. Hargunu tinasef. We said, we killed him, we would be allowed to remarry. So Gemara says, Maishna, Haragtiv, Maishna, Haragunu. What is the difference between the case? So you say, I killed him or we killed him. In either case, the guy is in the mix of the people who said they killed him. So Gemara says, no, when he says, we killed him, it doesn't really mean we. It doesn't really mean that we killed him, it just means I was in the presence of those who killed him. I was just happened to be with them. I didn't really kill him. And therefore, that's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we believe him, because he's not established himself as a murderer. So the Gemara says, Vehatanya, really, Atani uses most of the times is a kasha, right? We hold it. Here means but behold, in a good way, nichusa. But Atani, right? Tanya, we learned in Braisa a proof for this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. There was an incident at Kupitka, a certain country. We have this. We have the Maus Kupitka in the Mishnah in Kedushin. Kupitka was a certain area in Asia Minor. That's what they say. So I went to Kupitka. He said to the people looking, "Lechu imrul Eishu Shimon ben Cohen, go tell the wife of Shimon the son of a Cohen. Ani ragti as baila bichnasi lelud. I killed her husband when I was entering Lud. She could go get remarried." V'amrilah, and some said, I killed him when he was entering Lud. Whatever it was, I killed him. The Yeshua Sisto and the Chachamim permitted his wife, the wife of Shimon HaKohen, to the son of the Kohen, to marry on the basis of this Aegis. So this teaches us that one testifies that he's murdering a person, and permits him to be married. How do you review that? Why don't you agree to this? Myself, Amar Lam, reviewed and responded, Misham Raya, is that really a proof? He's saying I was with them, but I didn't actually kill them. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda from the Braisa confirms the Shita, that Rabbi Yehuda says that a woman is permitted to remarry in a case where he says he was with them because he's not actually admitting to the murder. But if he agrees to the murder, he would disagree with the Rabbani. He would say, well, you would not accept that Aedus. But the Gemara says, wait, Halistim Katani, but he says he was a bandit, a person who is robbing people, a bandit, and certainly Pasul Aedus Midaraisa, he's a robber. So the Gemara says, no, Shinitbas Ayadei Listas. It means that he was taken to jail because he was considered being a robber. But not that he actually was the robber. So Gemara says, Hayatza Argan, it says that he were killing him for the fact that he was robbing people. If he wasn't a robber that was threatening to kill people or holding people at gunpoint, why were they taking him to kill him? So Gemara says, Bei Dina Dovde Kochavim, Delo Daike Vekatle, because he was in the base din of Ovde Kochavim, and there they don't actually careful. They just see a whole group of people were together. If a few of them were committing the robbery, they punish everybody. He saw the robbery, he was with them, but he didn't do anything. But still, he's going to be considered punished for that, and that's why he was not actually a criminal. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that he's allowed to be believed. And we've answered Rabbi Yehuda that he really, Taka, had not done anything wrong. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah now continues. The final case which we talk about, Laz, Hachacham She'asar Se'isha B'Nedra Al-Baila. So we just talked about Hareza Lo Yisena, that if a person has a neder against his wife, which has prevented him from being married, so you can go to the Chacham to be made for it. He opens, what he does is he asks a Pesach, he says, if you had known that you were ruling your relation, Shalom Bayis, when he made the neder, when he made the neder, the guy says no. If he says no, then we can uproot the neder of the Mefreya and say that it really was a neder Batos, and we can say that it's not acceptable. So if he was unable to find this Pesach, for whatever reason, he says, yes, did you know you weren't going to be able to stay married? He says, yes. Did you know that you are going to ruin your relationship with her? Yes. Did you know you're going to have to divorce? Yes. And they can't find any Pesach. So that same guy, that Chacham that she went to, should not be allowed to marry her again for the same Pasuk that we're afraid of the laws that people are going to say, oh, look what happened over here. This rabbi couldn't find her. And then, because the Pasuk, the Pasuk should tell us that you should not be able to marry her. So the Gemara says, continue another halacha. Also, mianah shechatz b'fadim. What if the woman does mion or chalitza before this chacham? The halacha is yisa'ena. He would be allowed to be married. Mishu beistin, because it's a whole beistin that did this. And since it's a whole beistin, we assume that he's not acting alone. He's with three other people. How is he going to get the other two people to be marched to do one guy? Okay, we can assume maybe he's doing something really corrupt. But to assume he's getting two other people with him on a beistin that has a good reputation, and now they're going to also testify falsely to make this whole case of a mion or a chalitza, so therefore there's going to be no laws because of the case of the beistin. So the Gemara points out, wait a second, on the first case of the that this implies that ha hatira yisa'enam, that implies that if this guy Taka was able to find a Pesach for her, the very first case, we said if he's unable to find a Pesach, he shouldn't marry her. What if he Taka found a Pesach and she was able to uproot the neder, and then they stayed married for a little bit, and then they end up getting divorced, or that he ended up dying? So there's no grounds for suspicion, you would be allowed to marry her. So the Gemara asks, what case are we dealing with? Ilim b'chad, we're talking about a case where it's only a single chacham. Could one person really remove a neder? We know the famous one, we do Hatar Sadam and Rosh Hashanah. When do we do it? We do it three people. Hatar Sadam Shlosha, it needs to be three people. Ve'ela betplaz, they're going to tell me that we're dealing with a case of three then. But then what was the state of the Mishnah? Michashida, are these people considered suspect more than the person making the neder? Don't we learn in the Mishnah? Miana o shechaltz befanav. If a woman performed mion or chalitza before a chacham, yisa'ena, he may marry her because he's part of the beistin. So to the first case also must be part of the beistin. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about the first case, though. There is one exception to the rule where you can have a basin of three. La'olam b'chad, we're talking about the case where you have a neder that was with a single chacham. Because Amar Avchista, Amar Yochanan, B'yachid Mumchad, is a special halacha, that a Yachid Mumchad, a single expert, which we don't have as one as this, so we always do a Tarsus with three people. But a Yachid Mumchad, theoretically, because of the pasuk we learned from Moshe, let's talk about the parson's arm, that Moshe himself would be considered somebody who has the authority to remove a neder. So we see that a Yachid Mumchad is allowed. The Risha must be talking about a Yachid Mumchad, and he's allowed to give her. So if he does uproot the vow, he would be allowed to then remarry her later. If she stayed married for a few months and then got divorced, or if the husband died, in those cases we know there's no laws. We can assume that they'd be allowed to stay married. Miyana osha chalza, if a woman performed miyun or chalitza before a chacham, he's allowed to marry her. So the Gemara says, taima the basin, that's only because of basin. Ha betray lo, but if it was done by two people, the implication is no. So which the Gemara asks, the maishna madasan. We have an example of something that was done by two people, which we don't assume both of them were doing something wrong. What is that? Eidim achasum al astay mekach. If witnesses are signed on a bill of sale of a field, they'll get isha or a woman's get, lo chashacham la davar zed. The chacham were not concerned in this case, there is suspicion. Because there's two of them, so we see that this case is that we're going to believe witnesses in the case of two. Why over here, if you only have two people, is it not going to be okay when the case of miyun or the case of chalitza? It's very interesting, Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the reason we're not afraid is because we're not assuming that one witness wouldn't compromise itself for the sake of the other. So this implies from the Yerushalmi, you're trying to make a deal, that if both of them, Taka, want to buy the field, that would be usher. That would be usher because that's a whole shot of the Yerushalmi. Would this be the case or not? If they're signing on a field, if they together want to then go ahead and buy the field, maybe we have Taka are going to be Choshesh Le'isura. That's all Shaila in Choshesh Mishnah, but not for now. But so going back to our Shaila, why does the Mishnah say that if it was done by specifically a Beis Din, maybe if it was done by two, it should be also Kasha? The Gemara says, no, there's another point the Mishnah is trying to teach us. He gufa kamashman. This is specifically teaching us a specific halacha. Lafuki b'madamar mimiyun b'tnei shnayim. There is a shita that says you can have only a basin of two. However, kamashman miyun b'shlosha, that you can have only two people is okay. We hold the Mishnah teaching you that leikuva you need three. It's no way telling us that the two are less trustworthy than three. And a chanami, like this Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah eidim achsim al stemekach, that is taka fine. It's really a brisa, not a Mishnah, but some teach it's a tasanya. But either way, that brisa would be confirmed and that would be fine with the case of three. Okay, Baz Hashem will pick up with the Bailu on tomorrow's Daf. There's Shabbos, probably not right. Get a chance to record. Baz Hashem will pick up from recordings. Baz Hashem, Daf Chaf Zion.